On this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock.
UA ought to download your data before July 1st, 2020 GA4. Google says you have a year.
Out of sight or on site, out of mind, Microsoft Advertising has a new one-size-fits-all campaign for e-commerce advertisers.
Shorts reach gets longer with new video reach additions.
All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Christine Zernhell,
aka Shop.
I'm Nicole Waddington.
And I'm Greg Finn.
And it's officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on May 5th, 2023. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us in May. We are so lucky to be joined by the lovely Nicole Waddington. What's new with you? Thank you for being here.
Glad to be here. Nothing much is happening in my world, which is why I have currently been obsessed with this new Facebook page that I got into called 716. Are we dating the same guy?
Can't choose between both of you guys, though, because I love you guys individually.
Every city has one.
Yes. And it. I don't even know how I found it. It might have come recommended to me on like the side for recommended groups, but I got in, I had to answer a whole bunch of questions, check a bunch of boxes, and they let me in. People post crazy stuff on it. I recommend finding your local Are We Dating the Same Guy page for maximum entertainment.
Have you found anything out? Like,
you're not allowed to tell.
When that's one of the boxes I check that I won't tell.
Oh, really?
What I see on
the page. We don't have to keep secrets.
She's just spreading the word.
Yeah.
We don't have to keep secrets in Trader Joe's meal ideas for busy moms. All are welcome. You don't have to be busy or a mom. That's exciting, Nicole. Well, if you guys don't know, I am 39 weeks pregnant when you're listening to this.
This is probably your last show.
I don't know. We'll see.
It's your last show.
Everyone's sick of watching me waddle around the office. But yeah, I probably won't be here next week. We've been trying to get our toddler used to the idea of having another person in the house. And we do not know the gender. And we keep asking her, like, do you think the baby's a boy or a girl? And she is very steadfast in the idea that it is a girl. She also thinks there's a baby in her belly and her dad's belly sometimes. She seems very, very confident about this girl thing. And we're like, okay, like if it's a girl, what's her name? She has different answers every time. Like her name's going to be Baby Dolly. I'm like, okay, great. But, you know, what if it is a boy? She's like, no, girl. I'm like, but if it's a boy, like what will the name be? She's like, no, girl. I'll be like, okay, but if it's a boy, like you're still going to love the baby, right? She's like, no, girl.
Wow.
So I really hope for this baby's sake that it's a girl.
It's a boy.
We'll see.
That's my guess. It's a boy.
I'm worried it won't be how she's going to take it.
Little Maseri. That's a
little name. Oh, no.
What's new with you, Greg?
Well, I talk about it a lot. My kids just try to gross me out, and they think it's funny because I react like I have visceral reactions to how gross they are sometimes, and they've got like a new height. They've ruined the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse song. You know that song where it's like, it's Mickey Mouse?
M-I-C-K-E-Y.
They've changed the lyrics of this song, not to Mickey Mouse, but to Milky Mouse. And they go, M-I-L-K-Y, it's Milky Mouse's Clubhouse. And it is so disgusting to me. And then they go around, they do the roll call too. And like, Donald, here, Goofy, here. Milky, and they go gulp, and I'm like, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard. M-I-L-K-E-Y, Milky Mouse, gulp.
I'm picturing, like, you know when daycare centers illegally have paintings of Mickey Mouse outside the building?
Yes.
And he looks more like a rat.
Yes. Yes. So
that's Milky Mouse.
But every time they sing it, I just like viscerally cringe because it's so disgusting. Milky Mouse Clubhouse. That's my life.
Sounds like a great program. You know, they're promoting America's dairy farmers.
Yeah, strong bones. Take that, osteoporosis.
That's great. Well, before we get to the news here, you guys know we cover some SEO news later in the show, but if you're looking for some evergreen SEO content, we have another great podcast that we think you should check out. Wix's Crystal Carter and Morty Oberstein are sharing SEO knowledge every Wednesday on their podcast, SERPs Up. So every week, they tackle a new SEO topic. This week, they're talking about shaping SEO campaigns, but a couple of weeks ago, they were talking about kind of the cross-section of PPC and SEO, and they had a very special guest.
Oh, really? Who was that guest?
Mr. Gregory Finn.
Oh, wow. It was so great to be on the SERPs Up podcast. Morty and Crystal are exactly as you pictured, just phenomenal to talk to on and off the mic. And they have phenomenal shows. I know a new episode came out from Vahan from Search Engine Journal, who's phenomenal, and they did content audits. It's just the go-to SEO show for you. And we always like dust up on the what you need to know with SEO, and they go deep. Like, I have a migration, and we're training some people. I've got their migration episode bookmarked. Mm-hmm. They're going to listen to it. I'm using it as training. It is a phenomenal podcast. It's evergreen, and you should go check it out after you're done with this.
And really importantly, it's entertaining.
That's the best part.
This week, you were sipping on a margarita.
Oh, yeah. I was catching a wave.
Shooting the heck with Crystal and Morty. It's a really fun show. Like, they're sharing great knowledge and really insightful SEO advice, but it's also really fun. Tune into the show on the Wix SEO Learning Hub at wix.com/SEO/learn/podcast. Or if you don't want to write that down or type it in, you can just listen to it wherever you're listening to us as soon as you're done with the show. You can also check out the rest of the Wix SEO Learning Hub. They have awesome resources on there. So check it out at wix.com/SEO/learn. Nicole, do you have news for us?
I do. So Nicole Farley over on Search Engine Land reported on this, but Google has announced that users will have access to their UA or GA3 data until July 2024. So, reminder, if you haven't heard, if you're living under a rock, data collection on UA will end July 1st, 2023. And Google will create GA4 accounts if you have not already created yours. But after the sunset, users will have access to the data for another year. And you can export the data, but new data will not be processed. It's also worth mentioning that bidding audience and conversion data will not be sent to Google Ads or third-party integrations from UA, but your data will still be accessible and you can download that.
It's coming up, people.
It's awesome. If you don't have a plan in place, at least you have another full year to get your act together and get that data out of there. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Next up here, we have some advertising news. Microsoft Advertising announced a new campaign type called PLA Extension. And they start the blog post article off by saying, as retail media continues to evolve, the decision brands need to make about where and how to allocate budgets can feel increasingly complex. I just love when an article starts by like acting like we're stupid and we can't figure things out for ourselves or we're lazy. I get it. They're trying to make it seem like it's making our lives easier, but I always roll my eyes and it's a red flag to me. Okay, let's get into the news. So they're calling this a fully integrated retail media solution, and it allows you to serve product ads both on-site, so on retailers' websites, and off-site. So it says, quote, you will also be able to activate the retailer's first-party data as well as Microsoft's audience intelligence to strategically target highly relevant shoppers via your access to more ad supply through off-site channels, including new buyers. So they say if you have an on-site campaign that is underspending, quote, it will automatically extend your product listing ads to offsite product placements like the Microsoft Search Network and the Microsoft Audience Network. And that can include remarketing with their first party data, or it could be people prospecting people who are totally unfamiliar with your brand. But it seems like another like one size fits all, give us your budget and we're going to serve your ads wherever we want to. And hopefully you get some sales out of it type of solution. So this is available to people who want to give it a test. It's called PLA Extension Campaigns. Greg, what else is happening?
Last week we reported that YouTube's ad revenue declined yet again, the third quarter in a row. It was 2.6% down year over year in the first quarter of 2023. If you recall, fourth quarter 2022 was down 7.8% and Q3 was down 1.9%. So YouTube has some new ways to advertise. So the big news here, I'm just going to read this from their press release. Short form video is booming. It's a rich canvas for every type of content people care about. Music, gaming, sports, lifestyle, learning, food. People love it so much that according to Talk Shop, viewers now report watching more short form video than studio produced TV and films. I would argue that that is all TikTok.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not YouTube Shorts.
Yeah.
You're looking at this thing that they're trying, they're doing, their revenue is down and down and down. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go and check the, just vibe check on Shorts and see how it looks. The fourth short that I saw was a repurposed TikTok with a completely different username than what shows up on Google. And it's just got the, you know, Google new at symbol on top of the TikTok. It's like regurgitated TikTok.
That's probably all it is. It's the same as Reels.
And so I figured, I know why people are using Shorts now. Matt here, who owns the company with me at Cypress North, was talking about the fact that Shorts is a way that kids can get around not being able to use TikTok. Because a lot of kids don't have access to TikTok. They don't have their own Instagram account. So they can go to Shorts because you can still get through because it's YouTube. And you can see short videos that they're not supposed to see from other platforms.
So their parents just have a bad taste in their mouth about TikTok and don't want it on their phones, but YouTube is fine?
YouTube has been more universally used. So that's my working theory of who's using Shorts. Because I went to the tab and there's no synergy between one short and the next.
Are your Dude Perfects on there? Are they making shorts?
They make a short. Whenever my kids see it, they get super disappointed because it's like a crappy version of a video that they want to watch. It's like somebody playing tic-tac-toe with a ping pong ball or something. It's not like a well-produced video that they can sit down and watch that somebody tries at. It's like a crappy little one-minute video that, and we watch it on TV. They don't have phones or anything.
I saw them on the draft.
A short?
No, Dude Perfect.
Oh, Dude Perfect. Yeah, that's my life. Just my kids just emulate them nonstop. So anyway, there's some new ways that you can advertise, especially with shorts. So shorts now have video reach campaign capability. So that's when you can use Google's AI to get the best combo of ads and get your reach and efficiency up on YouTube. Also, they're adding in-feed video ads to video reach campaigns to bring more opportunities to connect with your audience across YouTube. And all you need to do is upload a 60-second or shorter vertical video along with other assets. And if you have only horizontal video, there's a tool that will AI it into vertical video, I'm sure a crappy version of it. You can also now appear next to trending shorts content. That's what I wanted to see was trending over on the shorts channel there. It's called YouTube Select. You now can show up on the most popular shorts, and you could have do this now with YouTube and now is eligible for shorts. So good luck on that. And then there's also first position on shorts. And this is piloting across YouTube Select where you can try to break through at the start of a viewing session. So a viewer opens YouTube Shorts and starts watching and the ad is the first one you see. That opening sentence where they're like, people use short videos more than they watch TV or film.
Not YouTube Shorts.
Not YouTube Shorts. And you've got a tool that breaks past TV. It breaks through film. It's user-generated content. People putting their stuff out there for free. Like, nobody else has this. You are shunning this. It's absolutely criminal to me. Neil Mohan should go to jail. Like, how are you not caring about your core product and this thing that is the all potential to be TV and you don't care about it? I don't understand.
Now it's time for this week's take of the week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
This week's take of the week comes from the one and only Julie Baccini, Salt J herself. There was a very vigorous conversation on PPC chat talking about basically letting go on keywords as fixed identities, and Nava Hopkins, Julie, and Ginny Marvin were on it. And Julie had said, basically, it feels like an institutional loss and clients are not interested in paying the machines to relearn stuff they already figured out and paid for. It's definitely an education and contextualization process. Gil Gildner hopped in and said, he's straddling the fence on this one. On one hand, I understand evolution. On the other, many stakeholders are not techie. They're used to cheap CPCs and think that 100% of everything can be attributed. To which Julie then says, I know things are changing and we all have to evolve on how we do things and how we talk about them. But the answer is kind of, quote, well, Google just doesn't want you to be able to do it that way anymore, end quote, is not a satisfying answer for many. Ginny hopped in and said, also agree, Google doesn't want you to be able to do it that way anymore shouldn't be a satisfying answer, because that's missing the macro view of what's driving these changes. It doesn't mean change management conversations are easy, but they're necessary. Then there was some back and forth, and Julie said, better wording is Google doesn't let you do it that way anymore, rather than doesn't want you to. Speed of the chat and all. But it's also not my job to carry Google's water. It's my job to help clients best navigate ad platforms to get the results that they want. A little Salt J for you.
I think 2 weeks in a row for her.
2 weeks in a row, back to back, Julie. Love it.
Keep the energy up, Julie.
Now it's time for this week's ICYMI.
ICYMI, people.
This is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
ICYMI people, Meta changed their location targeting options and didn't bother to tell anyone.
That's nice.
Very important ICYMI for us here. So they used to have four location targeting options, and they were people living in or recently in this location, people living in this location, people recently in this location, and people traveling in this location. And some people are just logging into their accounts and they don't see those options anymore. Instead, they see a notification that says, all location targeting will now reach people living in or recently in the locations you select. The other options have been removed, so you won't have to select a type of location targeting here. You won't have to. This makes me, they're just like, why are you ruining your ad platform? Like, I don't understand.
And you don't tell people? It's like, you should make that very clear.
It could be very important if you're, Jess always brings up, we used to have a client that was a tourism company, and we would use these very, very strategically, sometimes to target people who were traveling somewhere. And we would like want to pay a lot of money because they were there right then, and it's Facebook, and we had interest targeting. And like, it could work really well 4 years ago, and now it's just a complete joke. Maybe tell people next time.
Now it's time for this week's
pew pew
lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts: paid, organic, and social.
First up in the paid universe, we have a little bit of a PMAX roundup here. First, Mike Ryan tweeted from his @MikeRyanRetail account. He said, after months of stagnation, April saw a jump in PMAX adoption. So he has a chart that's measuring by cost share. And he says, in fact, it's the biggest automation gain we've ever seen. Likely the windfall of PMAX's warmly received feature roadmap. Note to Google, listening to customers worked. And he has a little winky smiley face. And let's take a look at what some of those features are, because people noticed some really exciting new additions to their PMAX campaigns in their accounts this week. So first, Menahem Ani from his @MenahemAni Twitter account said, Performance Max Asset Group Reporting is rolling out. We're seeing this in some of our accounts. Super excited about this. And then he has a screenshot to show that it is indeed. There's now this asset group tab there with options for what you can add to your columns. That is awesome. We heard this announced a little bit ago, and now it's rolling out. Next, Alfred Simon from his @AlfredSimon Twitter account said, placements devices, and other extra information are starting to show up for PMax campaigns, not in every account. I don't have it in mine. These insights were always there if you use segments and the reports menu, but now it's much easier to find them. So there's tabs for where ads showed, when ads showed, devices, and match locations, which I kind of hate what they're called. Like, just call it placements, ad schedule. Again, they just like think we're dumb. I don't know. I guess if it's really only what we're getting in the segments, that's kind of a bummer. I was thinking at first that this was like more granular placement information, but maybe that's coming. We love to see more data, so it seems like it's a good thing. Next up, Pinterest announced that they are teaming up with Amazon Ads for a multi-year strategic ad partnership to, quote, bring more brands and relevant products to its platform. So people will be able to click on these ads from Pinterest and take in right to Amazon. So that seems like a cool partnership. Google Ads is also planning to change its approach to app bidding. Just thought I'd step up without Jess here.
Jess over there? Who is that?
With plans to adopt real-time bidding auctions for apps. So this should enable advertisers to find optimally priced app inventory more efficiently and boost competition within the real-time app auction. More new features here. Snapchat announced that they are bringing ads to Spotlight, which is basically their version of Shorts, which is basically YouTube's version of TikTok. But they're putting ads in there now too. It says Spotlight spots are already available for all advertisers globally, and initially those will be placed automatically. Love that. Google Ads is updating their dangerous products or services policy. This is a quote. It says, in July 2023, Google Ads will update its dangerous products and services policy to encompass advertisements for items that pose an imminent, proven, and unresolved risk of death or severe bodily harm, particularly if they have been subject to consumer advisories or product recalls. Enforcement of this policy update will commence on July 3rd. Why didn't we have this before?
I don't know.
Like, what? But don't worry, people have some time to adjust to this. You'll get a 7 days notice before your account is suspended for advertising something that could kill someone.
Imminent, proven, and unresolved like, risk of death.
Why did it take so long?
Get your death ads before July 3rd. Get them rolling now.
But back in 2020, I won't even say the words on the podcast because the YouTube video will be shut down.
Yes.
But you couldn't put anything up or your account was suspended. You got 7 days if you're advertising a death device. Like what? Chris Ridley tweeted from his @C_J_Ridley Twitter account. TikTok is getting a new ad group quota. So on the 23rd of May, TikTok ads will gradually introduce an ad group quota, limiting how many active ad groups you can have in a single ad account. Your quota size is going to be determined on the account's highest spending month in the past 12 months. And there will be 3 ad group volume tiers. You'll be placed in one of those. If you're over your quota, you will need to pause or delete existing ad groups or wait for them to complete their ad schedule. And you'll have a notification in there if you need to do that. And that concludes the paid news. And this week's organic lightning round is brought to you by Wix. And Greg, you were just telling me how you were recommending Wix to a client, right?
Yes. And I've got my phone up here. A former client had said, hey, I'm trying to start my own company. How much would it cost to build a website? I said, your best bet to get started using Wix.com. And this was like instant. And it's not because they're a sponsor. It's because it's the best. And it's because they are putting so many resources to help you. They are far and ahead the number one website tool that cares about SEO. And that means they care about you. And if you care about your website, you should be using Wix. They've got the amazing Learning Center that not only has podcast episodes that might feature yours truly, but they also have a lot of different webinars. There's one with Ross Hudgens and Mike King in there. And they also have great articles that help you do and perform SEO and how you can implement Wix's tools as well. They care about SEO, and so you should care about them. If you need a website, it's Wix.com, Wix.com, Wix.com.
And it's super easy to get started. They have templates to choose from based on your industry, and it's free to set up an account And they don't make you give a credit card. Everyone says it's free, but then they're like, what's your credit card number? And we're going to charge it in a week. They're not asking for a credit card. So it truly is free. But don't just take our word for it. Start building beautiful websites that rank and convert today by setting up a free Wix account. Visit Wix.com today to get started. That is Wix.com, websites without limits.
All right. And fresh off the presses, right from when we started the show today, Google is rolling out passkeys, the easiest and most secure way to sign into apps and websites, and a major step towards passwordless future. I'm all for that. I'm so bad at passwords.
They have really funny commercials on TV for this too. Have you seen?
No.
It's just like me. It's as if it's recording the person from the phone trying to put their password in the whole time, and it's like me dying inside because I forgot my password. It's really good.
Well, you might love this change because passkeys will allow you to sign into those apps and websites, and they're more secure than passwords, according to Google. You won't need to remember the name of your pets, birthdays, 123, whatever. Instead, you sign into apps the way that you unlock your device. So whether it's face recognition, finger recognition, screen lock pin, and apparently they're resistant to online attacks, so more secure because it's device-based and human-based. So you can, as of Wednesday when we recorded, passkeys for Google accounts are available. If you're interested, you can check it out at g.co/passkeys for more information. Next up from MarTech, there is more pressure on B2B marketers to prove ROI, according to a new report. 41% of people are feeling more pressure on ROI, 27% say it's getting overwhelming, and 14% say that it makes them want to pull their hair out.
Oh.
So pretty aggressive. Aggressive, I guess.
Got a lot of bald marketers.
Yeah. And one other thing from this report that I thought was interesting was they said automation helps, but it's only as good as the data it gets. In pursuit of quality, companies are using an average of 18 different data sources. That's a lot of data sources. All right. And from Marketing Dive, we've talked about this in the past, but Klarna is really making a push to take some of that retail commerce market. And the app has undergone a major redesign that has personalized shopping feed powered by AI, a personal shopper service called Ask Klarna. I don't like the name Klarna.
I think it's nice.
Do you? It reminds me of Richard Karn for some reason.
I think it sounds like Irish.
Oh. Do you know who Richard Karn is?
Of course not.
He's one of the finest actors of our generation.
Oh,
he was Al Borland in Tool Time or whatever that show
means
is.
Nothing to me.
Okay. And this also has a self-service advertising platform for retailers. So you might want to check that out if you're selling products and if you're on Klarna at the time. And they're going to be available in select regions.
I know this guy.
Right? Al Borland.
Yeah. He seems like a nice guy.
All right. From Search Engine Land and Barry Schwartz, the Google page experience was never a ranking system, but it is considered a ranking signal. Danny Sullivan had made a statement about that, emphasizing that it is not a system because it was removed as a ranking system in the documentation. Why would you think that it's a ranking system? Because you have it listed as a ranking system. It's now not there anymore. But basically, Google removed page experience system, the mobile friendly system, the page speed system, and the secure site systems from its ranking systems page. SEOs are all up in arms. But Barry is not the hero we deserve, but the hero we need, because he ends the article on Search Engine Land and just says, do not obsess about making sure you score 100s across all Core Web Vital metrics. Core Web Vitals is not that big of a ranking signal. You know better if your site is providing good page experience than a third-party tool from Google. Snaps for Barry on that.
He has a way with words.
In a surprising YouTube partner program policy change, the time gap before a suspended user can rejoin the monetization program has tripled from 30 days to 90 days. So if you're one of those people selling those death products or whatever you're talking about and you're banned.
Can't get over it.
If you have a second offense, you're going to have to wait 90 days to be able to monetize. This will start in June 5th. So if you're one of those naughty folks out there getting banned, just clean it up, put some bleeps in there like Tables does for us. All right, the top tech giant from South Korea, Samsung, has been forced to resort to a ban on its employees against the use of the most popular AI-based tools and technology like ChatGPT, Bard from Google, and even Microsoft's Bing. There was some shocking news that one of the company's biggest division on Monday had some of their data being pulled in to AI and potentially out for machine consumption. So knowing that the data is stored on external servers and it might end up getting exposed to other people, there is now a ban on AI over at Samsung. And you might want to consider that too. I feel like really the only person that ever talks about like being careful with your data is Julie Buccini, when she's always like, don't just give every ad platform all your customers' information. Who's liable for all this? We're starting to see some of these issues come to fruition. For a long time, if you had syndicated content, means you had content and somebody else is putting it on their website, the acceptable practice was to canonicalize the content to the original source so that your website could still feature that content and then it would be canonicalized to the canon version of the article. Google is now telling publishers to no index content if it's syndicated content. And Barry Adams at B Adams on Twitter says, a pure admission of defeat. Google can't figure out duplicate content and reward original publishers, so they want us to do the work. Most syndication publishers won't no index. Canonicalization was hard enough. So just another stupid step. How can you not figure out what the original source is?
And where they're saying that in like a help document?
Yeah, so it's on the developers.google.com. Basically, they said you don't use cross-site canonicals for syndication. No index instead. Okay. Is the
wasn't
kind of
sure if it was like the Star Trek account or...
No, it okay. was developers.google.com. Okay. And Lily Ray chimed in and said, this is like saying, we know you find $1 million in cash on the street every day, but we'd appreciate it if you just pretended it wasn't there. All right, from the YouTube creators account, podcasting content, what's that, is available in the YouTube Music app now. It's going to be in the main app, and you can use YouTube Music to download podcasts and listen to them later, and there will be that podcast section in YouTube Music now. And there are many listeners that use YouTube Music, much to
your surprise.
My surprise, yeah. additionally, Tables, this is some news for you. Video processing ETAs are now going to be shown, so you'll be able to see when that processing will occur. Before, you could just see some of the like standard def HD. You can now see when the processing will be finished. And then there's now going to be parity on those channel trailers on YouTube. So if you've got a channel trailer, we've got one. You can go check it out, Marketing Clock on YouTube. On desktop, when you arrive on that section, you see the channel start to play. It hasn't been the case on mobile. It is now coming to mobile. So there's that parity there. You will see the channel trailer on both devices.
It's time for Barry's Charts with Greg.
And this is just maybe my favorite chart ever. It warms my little heart. Barry Schwartz put out a post on Search Engine Roundtable and said, SEOs are worried about job security with new generative AI and AI search. And the original chart was blue when it said worried, 43%. Not worried, 57%. So most SEOs are not worried about their careers.
That's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Wait, wait, wait. He then retweeted again and said, chart was mixed up, frowny face.
Did he just try to play a trick on us?
So then he took, and this is what really got me, right? This is why I love this chart so much. Because he changed the colors, and it's now not worried is green and it's smaller. Worried is now blue, but he changed the location of them. He actually made an all new chart where it's like flipped. It's not the same looking chart.
I feel like the line is not right in the middle of the pie.
It's not. And the line goes to the right on one chart on the front. And
it's
then
like
it goes
a
to
mirror
the
image. Yeah.
Yeah.
He inverted it. Mm-hmm.
So actually 57% of SEOs are worried about their careers.
Oh,
according
man.
To the new chart. Mm-hmm. But I just love that the chart isn't face. The same. It's not the same chart if you look close enough, right? Mm-hmm. It's a completely different chart.
This is chart of the year material.
It's got to be chart. This is,
you know, we don't get a lot of pie charts.
No, this is a real delight. I'm telling you, I live for these moments in my life. Top 10 moments. That's inorganic. What's happening in social, Nicole?
All right. First up in social, Elon Musk tweeted that they are rolling out allowing media publishers to charge users on a per article basis with one click next month. So this will enable users who don't want to sign up for a monthly subscription to pay a higher per article price for when they just want to read an occasional article. And he said should be a major win-win for both media orgs and the public.
I kind of like that.
I do too.
If you can spend 99 cents, I'll check this out.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's kind of like bringing back like Apple Music paying like 99 cents for a song.
Yeah, I don't want subscriptions. Like I don't need subscriptions. Like let me just buy 15 articles a month that I want.
Also on Twitter Daily News at Titter Daily.
Oh God.
Said that there's a new subscriber tab on all Twitter profiles where you can now go to see all the exclusive tweets from your profiles that you subscribe to. So that should be already rolled out in the platform. Check it out.
One other awesome thing is anybody can offer subscriptions. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Like very democratized, yeah.
I know, I hate it how like YouTube, to get monetization, you have to get to 1,000 or this or that. Like it's just like, it's like Oprah. Everybody gets a subscription.
And from our favorite Adam Mosseri at Mosseri on Twitter, he said that there's a new feature that will allow you to bring content to life by adding a soundtrack to your photo post on feed. We're testing this feature with carousel posts now, but more to come soon. And he's wearing a lovely New York t-shirt and not sitting in his normal background with the fancy chair.
How are we going to talk about what he's wearing in this announcement and not what he wore to the Met Gala?
I didn't see his Met Gala outfit. I didn't even know he was invited.
Adam Mosseri went to the Met Gala with his wife Monica and they looked really good.
Looked good?
Yeah.
He looked like he was a pajama pilgrim.
He was in theme. I was like, you would think he kind of has no business being there. You would think he would be like understated, like just trying to fly under the radar. No, he came to play. He looked good.
I couldn't believe he wore the same thing Lil Nas X did.
No, thank God he didn't.
No, he had he's got a Quaker looking shirt, like it was like a Quaker would wear in the 1600s, and it was all silk.
I was really impressed that he tried. Oh my gosh, upon Googling it, did he go last year too? He must have.
Yeah, all of these are saying it's from 2022.
What the heck? Like, no, I had no idea.
Oh, this year he's goth. Yeah, it's no,
he's a little pilgrim.
He's literally a celebrity.
He's very Jess Bud.
He goes to the Met Gala. He's like the roach on the red carpet. Did you see the roach?
Oh yeah, I saw
one of the most important guests.
I learned all about this Met Gala. There's cats.
There's
shorts. A lot of shorts.
He was sharing a lot of inside tips.
Not like, YouTube.
He gave this like real man's coverage of the Met Gala in his Instagram post about how the night goes, because people really have no idea. We're like that roach just trying to sneak our way in. But he gave a lot of inside tips about like how long the performance is. I was just so delighted to see him there.
Couldn't pay me to go to the gala. What on earth are we doing with this announcement? We can now bring your content to life by adding a soundtrack to your photo post. What the fuck are we doing? What is the need to make music in a picture?
What was am I
that old? Can you be honest with me, Shep?
Maybe this was Cardi B's idea.
Oh, yeah.
I'm anti-Cardi B then, if this is her idea. Why would you want music on an image?
I could see how people like could use it in like an ironic way. But or yeah, like a meme
no
account.
Song in there. The no, no, no song.
What's that?
Oh,
it's
no. That one?
Yeah.
Or it's like a slideshow.
Moving on. From TechCrunch, Reddit is testing Discord-like chat channels, giving more avenues for members to interact with each other aside from the asynchronous commenting on threads. So they'll first be testing this with 25 volunteer subreddits that all have less than 100K members, but they haven't shared a list of those subreddits yet. And they also plan on giving more control to moderators, adding a dedicated channel for moderators to chat about managing the subreddits, and giving them power to decide if they even want to change or enable the chat room feature in the first place.
I've got a good idea to even spice this up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. No.
Put a music track in this Discord. You log into Discord and you get music.
Oh, like elevator music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you could set like a song of the week. Yeah, and when you log in, you'll hear the song.
You're making fun of Adam Mosseri.
Yeah, I sure am.
Eric Sufer on Twitter at Eric_Sufer had a Twitter thread covering what he has termed a content fortress. And he gives this example of how Meta announced last September it will be removing the shopping page from Instagram and transitioning retailers to an in-app checkout and empowering the flow of data through a content fortress strategy, thus retaining all the conversion data in a first-party setting or a content fortress, as Eric has coined. When Meta processes transactions, it retains first-party privileges for that conversion data, which then can be used for behavioral ad targeting. He adds that this use of first-party data for ad personalization absent an explicit opt-in faces an uncertain future in Europe. I thought this was an interesting article.
Yeah, content I like fortress. The use of the word fortress and the image he has in the article.
At Matt Navarra on Twitter said that Meta has rolled out new discovery and personalization controls for Facebook Reels. So the first being a new show more or show less control to customize the sorts of reels that you get shown in your feed. The second being a new context label to show why you're seeing a specific reel, for example, because a friend liked it. And then the third, reels added to main navigation at the top of the Facebook Watch for quick access to short form video.
I thought Facebook Watch was going away.
That's what I was just going to say. Not to hijack the social news again. It's going away.
They got rid of the...
Jada Pinkett is out of the job.
I know. They're getting rid of their content.
Remember, 2.5 years ago, they launched IGTV and Facebook Watch and then immediately abandoned it.
They really tried with Facebook Watch. Like, they had a show with Jessica Biel.
Well, it was so poorly executed.
They were really trying to do something. Well, it just makes no sense.
I mean, it does make... They're trying to go after what YouTube has and what YouTube had, and then YouTube f***ed out, essentially.
Well, they didn't do a great job.
No, they sure didn't.
And now they took a great thing, the Red Table Talk. Those ladies are going to have to talk somewhere else.
Entanglement.
WordPress is cutting ties with Twitter due to high API pricing. In place of free APIs, Twitter has set subscription tiers starting at $42,000. However, Twitter Dev reiterated that verified government or publicly owned services who tweet weather alerts, transport updates, and emergency notifications may still use the API for free.
That's cool, at least.
Yeah. Get your Blizzard warnings.
I love that it's $42,000 a month. Yeah. It's like, bro, we're not all billionaires, you know?
So if you just started tweeting about the weather, like mixed in with your other content, then could you use the
government
API?
Key is verified government account.
Well, yeah. Thought I was being smart.
From the information, there was an article that had scoop that TikTok is working on a new feature for creators to disclose they're using generative AI in videos. Similar in concept to disclosing sponsored posts as deepfakes rise.
I'm against this. I personally, Tables, you might be on the same page as me. I love those deepfake sports videos. I don't want to know it's a deepfake. Where I think it was Michael Vick took a ball and like just threw it out of the stadium. And then there's another one, I think it was like Evan Longoria. He's being interviewed and just goes and like grabs the ball. I love those sports deepfakes.
Yeah, they're amazing. I don't want to know they're fake. Like, they're just awesome.
Yes, we need a disclaimer for like fun sports deepfakes.
Yeah,
don't tell me. I just want to like go back through the footage a little bit. Tom Brady always does it. I love those.
Yeah.
All right. And Chris Holt on Engadget.com reported that Twitter is set to add a page to its app that tells users who had received a complimentary blue check mark how to cancel their Twitter blue subscription by contacting support.
But so, people are going to.
Yeah. Well, for background, Twitter removed check marks from all accounts that were verified through the previous system and required you to be subscribed to Twitter Blue. But then Elon Musk added some blue check marks back to certain accounts, namely big celebrities, big following.
It seemed like anybody over a million followers got to retain their check mark.
Right. But some users suggested that in doing so, Twitter and Musk may have violated the Lanham Act, which is a federal law, U.S. law, that prohibits false endorsement. So they were arguing that having the check mark on their account without paying, you may be appearing to endorse.
This is just the silliest saga.
Fine.
They should be able to give that check mark to someone else who wants it.
We've got bigger problems, but I'm happy that other people are happy with this news.
Yeah. I just wonder, like, when you click the contact support, how helpful it's going to be.
Yeah. Like, if you email press, you get, there is nobody responding to this in a poop emoji. Like, what are you going to get when you respond to somebody else?
And from Sam Gattel on TubeFilter, Meta is sunsetting Facebook Watch. We just mentioned this in an earlier news section, which was a hub for scripted and unscripted shows such as Red Table Talk. It comes as its head of development and program, Mina Lefebvre, is getting laid off. So going forward, Meta is going to focus its original content efforts on the VR world.
Oh my God. Why can't you shut one dumb thing down and like focus on something good? Like location targeting options for advertisers.
And finally, last in social, LinkedIn has a new AI feature. It's been experimenting with a feature that will generate a brief cover letter-like message that candidates can send to hiring managers in the platform. So when you go to apply for a job, you'll see the option to select let AI draft a message to the hiring team alongside all the open roles on the jobs page. So this feature draws on information from your profile, the hiring manager's profile, job description, and the company of interest to create a highly personalized message.
I feel like that's going to make AI or leads from LinkedIn for jobs like less credible.
Well, that was already a problem with the instant apply, is that you would get crappy leads coming in.
So I like this with one caveat. All right. This is I'm poking a hole in it. I want to know, put this out there. I want to know if the person chose to use the AI or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's instantly, you're out of here. If you're just hitting make AI do this, no thank you. You can't put together a paragraph.
What about work smarter, not harder?
I get that, but at least, just having the option in the platform just makes it too easy for people. Like, I don't consider, at least go to ChatGPT and figure it out for yourself.
Yeah. Have ChatGPT and you copy paste it in.
Like, you're not working smarter. LinkedIn is working smarter. You know what right. I mean?
I would love to see like if it was AI generated and you could be like, out of here.
Well, I don't know. I think it would be nice to know if somebody used it, but I also think it would make a candidate look good if they used it and then maybe modified it. Because that's what you're doing in the real job. Mm-hmm. Like, right?
That's research and like, what's a good example? You pull on other sources mm-hmm. for sure. But if you just hit this button and go, I would like to know that this came mm-hmm. like that. And then you're out.
The world is just so different.
It's surprising how much you can learn from a cover letter.
When I applied for this job, we tell this story all the time, but I wrote an article and I remember you asking me if I wrote it. And I was like, yes. But now it wouldn't be like someone else writing it for me. It would be LinkedIn writing it for me.
Finding people that can write is hard.
That's crazy.
It's like nobody does that anymore.
Now it's time for this week's WTH.
Misguided.
I hated all of that.
I'm like, who does that?
Just get rid of it.
Where we rant, rave, and roll our eyes about a trending digital marketing topic.
What are we coming to?
Honestly, see what had us asking.
WTH.
This week.
All right. In This Is Fine news, cue the burning dog. The AI godfather, Jeffrey Hinton, warns of dangers as he quits Google. Dr. Hinton also accepted that his age plays into his decision, so just take that with a grain of salt. But basically, some of his statements were pretty creepy. He said, right now, what we're seeing is things like GPT-4 eclipses a person in the amount of general knowledge it has, and it eclipses them by a long way. In terms of reasoning, it is not as good. but it does already do simple reasoning. And at the given rate of progress, we expect things to get better quite fast. And then goes on to say he's concerned about bad actors who could try to use AI for bad things, and says this is just kind of a worst case scenario, kind of a nightmare scenario. You can imagine, for example, some bad actor, and this is in quotes, like Russian President Vladimir Putin, decided to give robots the ability to create their own sub-goals. Like, I need to get more power. And he says, I've come to the conclusion that the kind of intelligence we're developing is very different from the intelligence we have. We're biological systems, and these are digital systems. And the big difference is with digital systems, you have many copies of the same set of weights, the same model of the world. And all these copies can learn separately, but share their knowledge instantly. So it's as if you had 10,000 people, and whenever one person learned something, everybody automatically knew it. And that's how these chatbots can know so much more than any one person.
That's
I quit.
Scary.
I added that.
I know.
And that brings us to our real life segment, straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work, good, bad, or otherwise.
For me this week, I have been trying to set things up for when I'm out on maternity leave. I was reminded how much I love Gmail's vacation responder. I love that you can have a different one for people in your organization and outside. I already have it set up in there, and I can just flip the date on when I'm ready to go. And I like that I can plan ahead. And I hate that Slack has nothing for you. Like, why?
Good point.
But we have huddles.
Yeah, I got huddles. What are your thoughts on huddles?
Everybody hates them. Nicole, what do you have?
All right, so this week for me, working hard is just in general the marketing team Monday meetings. So they've kind of recently changed where we don't go over necessarily workload, but we can share what we've learned. And Greg has a lovely section in it called Greg's News Corner. And I feel like it's just very helpful to get together with the whole marketing team and catch up on news that you might have missed.
We're also doing a better job talking about like wins and losses from the week, and it's nice to keep everyone up to date and remind people of good things. So I love them too.
Something I don't love is Google Ads column sorting by bid type.
Oh, there, yeah.
There are multiple bid types, and target return on ad spend bidding is much different than maximized conversion value. And with the way things are set up, they made an asinine change to make target return on ad spend now maximize conversion value with target return on ad spend. And you can't sort the differences and filter. Like, I wanted to see how maximized conversion value was performing against target return on ad spend. And because they're technically the same bid type, maximized conversion value, you can't sort and filter the things out.
And then there's bid strategy, but then there's bid strategy type, and I don't know the difference. And why can't we change a target CPA from reports? That would be so nice.
I've got one old column I can in one account. I'll try to get it to yours. Okay. Maybe that'll be working hard next week.
Okay.
And now for this week's
Cool Tool.
As a reminder, our Cool Tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners. And is really, really cool.
All right. This week's Cool Tool comes from Samuel Schmidt. At Samuel Schmidt on Twitter. It's called Through with three U's, which can help you extract text from any website. All you have to do is enter the URL of the website and click Get Body Text. It'll turn the main body text without any HTML or text from the header or footer.
Great for AI usage if you want to throw it into ChatGPT or something like that.
Former marketing and talk guest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As always, we'll have the link in our newsletter, marketingoclock.com/newsletter, as well as on our Discord, community.marketingoclock.com. So pick your poison and check it out.
Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week. An article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week comes from Laura Sheely over on Search Engine Land, and it's called 4 B2B Paid Media Strategies to Stay Ahead of the Curve. I'll give you a few here. You're going to have to read the article for all of them. But one I liked is Test New Channels and New Features, bringing in other items and I guess platforms that you might not think about with B2B, but giving it a test with some specific examples like Instagram and search results ads or TikTok search result ads, things like that. Also, she talks about using the gift of customer feedback and how you can use that to help your B2B campaigns and get success. And she's going to be on a panel with me at SMX Advanced June 13th and 14th. It is free to sign up. Head over to Search Engine Land. You'll see links to get over there to SMX Advanced. Thank you, Laura.
And now onto our playlist of curated songs to work to. You can head over to playlist.marketingaclock.com to listen to Marketing a Playlist. I just decided I'm adding 3 songs this week.
What?
I'm going to be out. I like always listen to the same thing. And something happened this week where I was like on a musical discovery journey.
Okay. So what are the 3 Taylor Swift songs for the week?
No, the first one I finally saw Six the Musical at Shays. It was so good. Spice Girls concert meets Henry VIII. I will be doing the opening song, Ex-Wives. It's 5 minutes and 50 seconds long. Enjoy. My next selection is, oh my God, you guys, Kelly Clarkson's new song, Me Will Break Your Heart. Listen to it knowing that it's about the same guy Piece by Piece is about. She is just our queen. She doesn't get enough respect. Third, Rianne from work turned me on to this lady, Jessie Ware, who I should have known about a long time ago. She's like new. She just released this album, but it's straight disco. It's so good. I like the song Pearl, so I'm adding that too.
Wow.
Nicole, you're welcome, everybody.
I only have one song, and it's Do You Like Me by Daniel Caesar.
Greg?
All right, I've got a classic here. Just a great feel-good song. Rich Girl by Hall & Oates.
Oh, that's a good song.
So good.
Classic.
All right, that does it for today's show.
It is now officially not Marketing O'Clock.
Thanks for listening.
Miss you already.
And we can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingaclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we covered. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingaclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shooting the Heck. We're after our famous Friday news show. We don't talk about marketing anymore. We just
shoot the heck.
Greg has a game today. I know no details.
What's about you, the game?
That's
about
I'm getting that vibe, and therefore I'm terrified.
As you know, this might be Shep's last show. So I wanted to do trivia, but I wanted to make it easy on you. I wanted to give you a competitive advantage in the trivia game. Okay. I wanted to be nice to you.
I usually win trivia anyway.
That's debatable.
I don't know where you've been.
So we have a game of trivia, birthing trivia.
Oh, no.
You should know more than everybody
birthing?
Else.
Birthing?
Birthing.
Okay.
Birthing trivia. So ring in with your name, and if it's a number, it's going to be closest to who wins.
You've witnessed 2 births, technically. I've witnessed 1 to this point, so I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, but you're not playing. Okay,
I'm
got
not
it.
Playing.
I'm totally
going to
win.
Okay. The quickest labor ever, or surely pretty close to it, was how long?
Are we doing like
everybody
labor?
Go closest, yeah.
Tables. Oh. Tables. 30 seconds.
Shep, 5 minutes.
Nicole, 3 minutes.
Wow. Game theory is strong again. I'm going to give that to Nicole. It was 2 minutes. Nicole is off by 1 minute. So Nicole's on the board in 1 minute.
Do you have any details about that?
Yes, it was Australian mom Mary Gorgin, who has been dubbed the queen of fast labors, got up to use the bathroom and she suddenly felt her son's head crowning. 2 minutes later, he was born.
Wow.
Okay. All right. What was the longest labor?
Oh, no. Shep. 103 hours.
Okay.
Nicole, 92.
Hours, okay.
I'm going to go with 72 hours.
Who was the highest? You?
Me.
You win. This was 75 days.
Oh, my gosh.
It was also a trip, like triplets. I don't know. They started to give labor and then
they stopped it probably.
So,
yeah.
Whatever. So
both of those stories. And the other lady probably just didn't know she was in labor.
Yeah.
Okay. So Nicole won. Shep won. Okay. What is the average time of labor?
Tables. 8 hours.
And this is for new mothers. 8 hours, okay?
Oh. for new mothers, I'm just going to say 9.
Okay.
You said 8 and then 9. Okay, I'm going to go with 12.
Okay. Tables wins. It was 6.5 hours.
They weren't induced.
Okay. When was the first C-section observed?
Shep. Wasn't it Caesar?
In a year, not a name.
Closest to the year. No idea.
Okay, this when is funny.
Caesar. He was like around with like Cleopatra, right?
Okay.
So we're talking like BC, right?
I just need a year.
I really don't know. 100 BC? Okay. I don't know.
Right, 100 BC. I don't know. Okay. Nicole. Before the big fella was born.
I'm going to do like 1270 BC. I have no clue.
Okay, so we have 100 BC and 1270 BC, which is actually further back. Okay? Tables?
Are you kidding?
Right?
I just Googled it.
1600.
Tables wins. I've got it in 1500.
My Google says...
Wait.
Oh, so it must have not been Caesar. Caesar was born in 100 BC, though.
The first written record of a successful C-section where the mom and baby both survives all the way back in 1500.
Okay. You know what goes the other direction when we're talking BC, right?
That's why I said she's further.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I know my
making
math.
Sure you don't think I'm some I don't know big if you dummy. Math,
no, I didn't.
It goes
I,
up to zero yeah, and then starts again.
And then
at zero.
8. Yeah.
Okay. Managing pain during childbirth was largely taboo until Queen Victoria had her 8th child, Leopold, in 1853. Pain relief was normalized so fast that, in fact, towards the end of the 19th century, American doctors started giving women what? Substance to help with childbirth.
Towards the end of what century?
19th century. What substance was provided?
Say
first one gets it.
It's like cocaine.
Alcohol.
Alcohol, cocaine.
Oh, I was going to do alcohol. Absinthe. That's still alcohol.
Okay, anybody else want another guess here?
Zins.
Big Zen. They're huge in the 1800s. Heroin was the correct
answer. Oh, you were close then.
I was close.
Heroin.
Okay. Yeah.
What was the name of the cake that women in labor were expected to make for the people providing them help in the Middle Ages called?
What?
It's the name of a cake. It's a hint. It sounds like a sound that you make when you are told to make a cake when you're in labor.
Oh, no. A scream cake?
Close. A groaning cake. A groaning cake. Okay, they were to be given to the women's guests, but they're also thought to help speed along the birthing process. Maybe think about that.
Are you keeping track of the scores?
Yes, Tables has 2 and is winning the birthing competition, and you both have 1. Okay, what percentage of babies are born on their due date?
31.
Okay, closest Tables. Wins. Tables?
17.
Nicole?
22.
Tables wins, 5%. Only 5% are born on their due date. Do you even want more? I don't know if you're going to be able to catch Tables on this.
He's over there Googling it.
Okay.
Not true.
Here's one. All just ring in with your name.
We don't know about a lot about Tables' life before joining the show. He could have been a doula, okay?
I just skipped a question on doulas here. All mammals except humans routinely eat what after giving birth?
Oh, Nicole.
No. Nicole.
The placenta.
Okay, Nicole's 2.
They
Shep's
do?
1.
Yes. I thought hippies made that up.
Okay, what are you supposed to do, a mother and a baby, as soon as possible after birth to help
Shep.
Keep a baby at the ideal temperature as well as regulating the mother's and baby's hormones?
Skin-to-skin contact.
Yes. Okay. So, the winner of the birthing trivia, Tables with 3, Shep with 2,
yeah.
And Nicole with 2. I got another little fun fact here if you want. It's going to make you feel better.
I'm scared.
Okay? No, this is a here to make you feel better.
Okay.
A woman in India gave birth to her baby while using the toilet on a train that emptied directly onto the tracks. She passed out after giving birth, and she reported what happened when rail workers found the baby alive and unharmed.
Oh.
So if she can do that, you should be smooth sailing.
Oh, I was so worried. Okay, well, I guess that baby's the real winner, not Table. So we'll see you next week. Maybe not me.